Hello and welcome back to Second Chances. I'm Hilaria Asumu and I'm happy to be here this evening, and I hope you all are as well. It's a nice day out there. I don't know where you are tuning in from and where you're joining us from. So just put in the chats and let us know where you are joining us from. And if you're listening to me on radio this evening, welcome. And tonight is going to be a really great one, because we are going to be talking about faith today. So the title of our session tonight is called What Our Faith Actually Says. So last Sunday we talked about what happens after you say yes to organ donation, the recovery, the relationship, the myths that are costing lives in our communities. And after the show, the messages came. I was pleasantly surprised to get a lot of messages from people. And people are still, talking to me when they see me. I didn't know a lot of people listen to the program. And, they were not just coming to say thank you. It's not just that. They were also telling me I didn't know that. So that means that what we're doing here every Sunday at 5 p.m. on Radio Africana actually does mean a lot to a lot of people, and it does impact a lot of people. The messages that stayed with me were the ones that said, I want to do this, but my family won't allow me. My pastor says it's wrong. My mother said our people don't do this. My faith won't let me. And I think it was last year or so, I went home to Nigeria, and I had this these helpers at the airport who push you when you can't really walk long distances in a wheelchair. And he actually brought up the argument about faith, and I told him, I said, all faith do actually support organ donation. By the time I finished talking to him from the plane to the taxi rank, he was saying, I'm going to go home and talk to my family tonight. So I hope that, what we're going to be discussing here is going to impact you, and you're going to understand a little bit about, faith and organ donation. And so that's where we are going tonight. Not to argue with anyone's faith, no. Not to dismiss what your tradition has taught you, but to ask the question seriously, carefully, with the respect it deserves. What does our faith actually say about giving life? Because I think there's a difference between what our traditions teach and what we have been told they teach. And tonight, I want to find that difference. Stay with me. Don't go away, because tonight's episode is also made in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant. They have funded this program, and that is why I'm able to bring this to you every Sunday at 5 o'clock. So in the next hour, we're going to move through three faith traditions: Christianity, Islam, and African traditional world views. We're going to hear what scholars and community leaders actually say, and we are going to sit with the harder questions that do not have easy answers, because this conversation deserves more than a poster on a hospital wall. It deserves exactly what we're doing right now. I want to start with something honest. And, when I was on the waiting list, in those years when dialysis was the only thing keeping me alive and right here for my family, for my children, I prayed every day. I prayed for a kidney. I prayed for life. I was scared I was going to die. I prayed that somewhere, someone would say yes. I did not stop to think about whether the person who might save me had been told by their pastor that they shouldn't. For me, I did not even want to think about whether a family's grief was being complicated by a belief that the body had to stay whole. I was just praying all the time. But someone on a waiting list right now is sitting in that same prayer. And that somewhere, and also somewhere, a family is sitting in a room making a decision that their tradition may have given them no language for. So I want to ask the question that does not get asked at Sunday service. The question that does not come up in the Friday sermon. The question that does not sit comfortably at the family table. If your faith teaches that human life is sacred, and most of our traditions do, what does it say about extending life? If your faith teaches that the body is a gift from God, what does it say about regifting part of that gift so someone else can live? If your faith also teaches that we are our brother's keeper, does that end at the boundary of our own skin? I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm here because I'm alive. And the only reason I'm alive today is because someone somewhere gave. I don't know them. I have never met them. We have exchanged letters. But that's where it stops. I've never seen them. They've never seen me. They might know me by my first name. But there are many Hilarias, so they wouldn't know which it is. And I think our traditions, all of them, have always known how to talk about giving. We just have not applied it here yet. But tonight, we're starting. We're going to start, and we're going to encourage every other person we know to come along with us. Before we go further, I want to ground us, because this conversation requires something. It requires us to come open, not defensive, not already decided. Kirk Franklin wrote a song about surrender, about releasing the thing you are holding too lightly. I want us to arrive at this next section with open hands. This is Smile by Kirk Franklin, and I will see you back here in a minute. Don't go away.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower. Now
when I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see I smile. I know God is working, so I smile. Even though I've been here for a while,
what you do?
I smile.
Come on and
smile. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. Sure would hate to see you give up now.
God's people,
you look so much better when you smile. So smile.
Now every day ain't gonna be perfect, but it still don't mean today don't have purpose. Come on.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night.
It ain't easy, but
today's a new day. But tell me, where are my blue skies?
Where is that love, y'all?
Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
The truth is,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain.
That was Kirk Franklin with Smile. I hope you enjoyed that because I did. You must have seen me all bobbing my head up and down. And if you're listening to me, yes, it was just amazing. I absolutely love that song. Now, let us talk about what Christianity, specifically African and Caribbean Christianity, actually says about organ donation. Because there is a lot of noise around this, and most of it is not scripture. The most common argument about organ donation in African Christian communities is this: the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You cannot give away part of the temple. That comes from 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. And it is real scripture. I'm not dismissing it, no. But I want you to read the verse that sits four chapters earlier in the same letter. 1 Corinthians 13 verse 3. It says, "If I give you all I possess, if I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." Paul's entire argument in Corinthians is not about preserving the body. It is about what we do with it. The body is a temple because of what it is used for, not because it must be kept intact. John 15 verse 13. Most of us know this verse. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Jesus loved us so much that he gave his life for us. I want to ask a simple question. If laying down your life for someone is the greatest act of love in the Christian tradition, what is giving one kidney to someone else can live? So someone else can live. Think about that. What is giving one's kidney so someone else can live? The Catholic Church made its position clear in 2000. Pope John Paul II described organ donation as a genuine act of love. He said the gospel of life is to be celebrated above all in daily living. The Church of England has consistently encouraged donation as a form of Christian service. Most mainline Protestant denominations take the same position. Life is sacred. Extending it through donation is an act consistent with that belief. However, the resistance in African and Caribbean Christian communities is not coming from scripture. It's coming from culture, from fear, from a distrust of medical institutions that have been earned through real historical harm. Those are legitimate concerns. They deserve a real conversation. But they are not the same as a theological prohibition, and we must not pretend that they are. What the faith says and what the community has decided to believe about the faith, those are two different things. And one of them must change and can change too. We're going to sit with that for a moment before we move to the Islamic tradition. Tasha Combs Leonard wrote a song I think belongs right here. It's about being held, about not having to have all the answers right now. And she wrote that song, and I hope that this song ministers to you tonight as you're listening to me. And you are ruminating over what I've just said. And when we come back, we are going to be looking at the Muslim religion, the Islamic tradition. This is Your Spirit by Tasha Combs Leonard. And I hope you enjoy it. I'll see you back here in a minute. Oh.
God, not by might, not by power, by your spirit, God, send your spirit, God.
We are the temple, you are the voice, we are your song. You are our God, we are your people, you are the light, we stand in awe.
We stand in awe of you. We stand.
Come to us.
Welcome back. That was Tasha Combs Leonard, Your Spirit. I hope you enjoyed that song and it puts you in the mood for the next segment. Now, Islam. Because in our communities across West Africa, East Africa, the Caribbean, there are many Muslim families who have been told that Islam forbids organ donation. I want to address that directly. The Islamic position on organ donation has been the subject of serious scholarly debate for decades, and I want to be accurate about what that debate, where that debate has arrived. The concern in many Muslim communities comes from the principle of the inviolability of the human body. Omat al-Isan, the body belongs to Allah. It's not ours to alter or give away. That is the real principle. It is grounded in hadith. It is not invented. But so is this one, the Quran. The Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 32 states, whoever saves one life, it is as if he has saved all of mankind. In 1995, the Muslim Law Council of the United Kingdom issued a fatwa specifically permitting organ donation and transplantation. They ruled that donation is consistent with Islamic principles of saving life. In 2019, the British Islamic Medical Association reaffirmed this position. They stated clearly that there is no Islamic prohibition on organ donation. Sit with that. There is no Islamic prohibition on organ donation. Now, I could keep presenting the scholarship, but I want to do something different tonight. I want to bring in a voice that carries more authority on this than mine. My guest tonight is Abdul Rice. He joins us from Milton Keynes. Abdul was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes in 1999 and has spent the years since making it his mission to raise awareness of diabetes and health in his community. He has appeared on UK TV, radio stations, and in national newspapers. In 2014, he met the then Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, as part of a Diabetes UK delegation. He has spoken to MPs in the House of Commons about diabetes stigma and received multiple awards for his services to community health. Since 2023, he has been a campaign champion for Diabetes UK. He's a man who understands what it means to live with a condition that communities do not always want to talk about. And tonight, wait for it, tonight he has something important to say about organ donation from the perspective of his faith. Abdul, welcome to Second Chances. Thank you for being here tonight. Hello, Abdul, are you there?
Hi, yeah, sorry, I can hear you, yeah.
Yeah, oh, great. Thank you for being here tonight. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
So, Thank you for the invitation. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful. Abdul, I just want to jump straight in because we don't have a lot of time. So, as a Muslim man, when you first heard the question of organ donation, what was your instinctive response and what changed it?
Well, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes over 25 years ago. And one of the things that I learned was the damage long-term diabetes can do to various organs of your body, particularly the kidneys, liver, eyes, etc. Up until then, I had never thought about organ donation. Through further diabetes education, I learned that lives can be saved through organ donation. Then I came across Wish BME Kidney Network and its founder, Hilario Sumo. The rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So there are Muslims in our community who have been told clearly that donating organs is haram. What would you say to them? Not to argue, but just to open the conversation.
Yeah, let me answer this question by giving a disclaimer. Okay. I'm not a scholar or an imam, so the views that I have on this topic are my personal views. Yeah. And my view on this is that organ donation is what we say in Arabic, sadaqa jariya, which means ongoing charity or a generous gift to save a human life. This is heavily emphasized in Islam. So I do not view organ donation as being haram at all. I'm reminded of a great Pakistani humanitarian and founder of an organization called EDHI Foundation, EDHI. His name was Abdul Sattar Edi. Sadly, he passed away on 8th of July in 2016. In his will, he had donated every organ that he said could be used to save lives after his death. Sadly, he was very unwell and most of his organs had packed up by the time he passed away. But his eyes were donated to two blind people who regained sight. So there you have it, really.
Wow, that's amazing. May his soul come to rest in peace. So moving on to my next question. The Quran says in the Surah Al-Ma'idah, whoever saves one life, it is as if they have saved all of mankind. How do you hold that verse alongside the concern about the body's inviolability?
Yes, the second half of verse 5 in Surah Al-Ma'idah reads, and whoever saves a life, it is as if he had saved mankind entirely. To me, that makes it crystal clear that there is nothing bad about saving a life.
Yes.
And that the donor would receive their reward for this good deed from Allah. So that's my view on this, really.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And I hope that people who are listening right now, I hope that you are listening and taking some kind of comfort from this and learning something as well. So very quickly, I'll move to my next question. So if a Muslim family is in a hospital room right now facing a donation decision and they are not sure what their faith says, what is the one thing you want them to know?
Again, I would refer them to the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 5. Mm. Whether you're a donor or a recipient, or indeed a member of their family, it's time to reflect and think more about saving a life. And if as I said, Surah Al-Ma'idah says that to save a life is to save the entire mankind, then I think you need to sort of understand that by donating an organ, you are indeed helping save a life.
That
something that I would like to request people to reflect on.
I hope anybody, wherever they are, if they're listening to this program right now, I know that would give them a little bit of comfort. Now, I think this is my final question. So you are from Milton Keynes. You are not a scholar or an imam. You are a Muslim man with a view on this. Why does that matter? And why did you say yes to coming on tonight?
Well, as you know, there's a major shortage of organ donations among the BAME communities, and the Muslim community is no exception.
Yeah.
Misunderstandings of religious and cultural beliefs can sometimes prevent people from coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for an open debate within the Muslim community on national, or if not on international basis.
Yeah.
I think this debate needs to be opened up, and people need to have a discussion, an open discussion, to come to some sort of uniform conclusion over this.
Yeah.
And this was my prime reason for coming on your show tonight.
Oh, thank you so much, Abdul. I really, really appreciate you. Genuinely, thank you so much. That kind of honesty takes courage, and our community, I'm sure, is better for it. Thank you very much for coming on the show, and speak to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. So what you've just heard is not a scholar, not a fatwa, not a policy position. It is a Muslim man who sat with this question honestly and told you where he arrived. That is the conversation. That is what it sounds like. I hope, you know, if you're Muslim and you are ruminating over this and you're thinking about what, you know, you want to do, what you need to do about organ donation, I hope that has a little bit, you know, reassured you that, you know, organ donation is something that is encouraged, is supported by your religion. And if you're still uncertain, you're allowed to be. Nobody is forcing you. It's not by force. You know, sit with it. Bring it to your imam, bring it to your family, read Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 32 and ask yourself what it means. The conversation within Islamic scholarship is open. The majority of formal bodies in the UK have come down on the side of permission. You are allowed to explore that. You are allowed to speak to your different religious leaders and ask questions. In fact, I would argue you are obligated to, because there is someone on a waiting list right now, on the transplant list right now, whose life may depend on the answer. We're going to take a breath, because what we've covered in the last 30 minutes is not light. We're talking about rethinking things we're told, we're settled. That takes courage. Maverick City Music wrote a song about exactly that, about showing up to the very hard thing. This is Jire from Maverick City Music. I hope you enjoy. I'll see you back here in a minute.
never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. Does it take a trophy to make you proud? I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Ooh.
Welcome back. That was Maverick City Music, G-Ray. Now, I want to go somewhere that does not often come up in these conversations. Because Christianity and Islam are not the only traditions in the room. Many of us, whether or not we would name it, carry African traditional beliefs about the body, about death, and about what it means to be whole. And those beliefs deserve the same honest examination. I want to say something before we go into this. I was born in Nigeria. I was raised in a home where Christianity and African cultural traditions sat at the same table. They were not in conflict in my household. They were layered. And I think that layering is true for most of us here. We do not always know where the Christianity ends and the African worldview begins. We carry both simultaneously, often without thinking about it. So when I say African traditional worldview, I'm not talking about something distant or foreign to our experience. I'm talking about what sits beneath the Sunday church service, underneath the Friday prayer, the beliefs about the body, about ancestors, about what death means that we inherited long before any of the Abrahamic faiths arrived on the continent. In many African traditions, the body must be whole at burial. The belief is that a person enters the ancestral realm as they leave this one. Anything missing in this life is missing in the next. Am I correct? If you're listening to me right now, I'm sure some people are nodding. I've heard this given as a reason not to donate, and I want to treat it seriously. But I want to ask something. If the ancestral tradition is built on the principle that the dead are honored by the living, that how we remember and treat the departed reflects the health of the community, then what does it say about a community that lets someone die rather than give? Think about that for a minute. African traditional ethics are not primarily individual. They are communal. Umbutu, you must have heard about that word. I am because we are. My well-being is inseparable from yours. In that framework, is refusing to donate an act of community integrity, or is it a withdrawal from it? I'm not answering that question for you. No, I'm not. I'm asking you to sit with it honestly. ask yourself. Think about it. Because there is another thread in African traditional thought that I think is more powerful than the wholeness and burial argument. It is the belief in living legacy. Not what you leave behind in a grave, what you leave behind in the lives you touched. In Igbo tradition, in Yoruba tradition, in Akan tradition, the person who gave generously, who fed the community, who extended life to others, that person is remembered. That person becomes a part of the living memory that sustains the community forward. A donor does not just save one life. A donor enters someone else's living legacy. They are remembered daily in the body of the person who received that gift. I do. I remember my donor every day and I pray for him every day. If that is not an African concept of living on, I do not know what is. I am not asking anyone to abandon their tradition tonight. No, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing, I'm asking whether our traditions, read fully, read generously, read in their own depth, might already contain permission we have not yet given ourselves to act on. Legacy. Living on in someone else. Being remembered not in stone, but in breath. Sinach wrote a song that has traveled across Africa and the diaspora like very few songs have, because it touches something underneath the denomination, underneath the tradition. It touches what we all at our core believe. This is Waymaker, and I know you are going to enjoy it because I am going to enjoy it too. I'll see you back here in a minute. Sinach Waymaker, that song usually hits me right in the heart and makes me very emotional. So that's a song that went from Lagos to London and back to Lagos again, through every denomination, every tradition, every background. That is what this conversation is trying to do. Build a way where there was none before. Now, I want to give you something practical because we've had a serious hour, and serious hours deserve action. The hardest conversation about organ donation does not happen at a hospital. It happens at your kitchen table with your mother, your husband, your adult children, your pastor, your imam. And most people never have it, not because they do not care, but because they do not know how to start. So I'm going to give you three ways to start tonight, this week, before the conversation becomes urgent. The first way, use tonight's show. Text a family member right now and say, I just heard something on the radio that I want to talk to you about. Can we speak this week? That is it. You do not need to have the full conversation in a text. You just need to open the door. The second way, ask a question instead of making a statement. Do not start with, I want to register as an organ donor and I need you to support me. Start with, Mama, what do you think happens to the body after we die? What does our tradition say? Let them speak. Let them tell you what they believe. Then you can say, I have been thinking about this too. Let me share what I heard. Questions often open rooms that statements close. The third way, name a person. Abstract arguments rarely move people. Specific people do. So if you know someone who is waiting for a transplant, name them. Say, you know, for instance, you know, Auntie Bimpe has been on dialysis for three years. I keep thinking about what it would mean for her family if someone said yes. The moment the conversation becomes a real person in your community, everything shifts. I know it does because it happened in my case. And if you've already had this conversation, if your family already knows your wishes, there's one thing I'm asking you to do. Tell someone else to have it. Share tonight's episode. Send it to your group chat. Play it in the car on the way home from church. Leave it running in the background at family dinner. You do not have to be a transplant recipient to carry this conversation forward. You just have to be someone who heard something tonight and decided it mattered. Register at organdonation.nhs.uk and it only takes 2 minutes. And then tell your family. That is the most important part. Tell your family. And also find the African Caribbean Kidney Support Network on Facebook. Join the community that is already having this conversation every day. And before I move on, I want to take a moment to recognize and welcome somebody who I spoke to over the weekend. I hope she's listening right now. NHS Blood and Transplants have a new coordinator in Manchester. Her name is Zaina. I met her over last during the week, and I think she might be listening to me right now on the radio. I'm thinking, oh my God, she mentioned my name. Zaina, welcome. We're so glad to have you here. Manchester needed a dedicated voice on the ground for this work, and you are it. We see you. This community is ready to work alongside you, and we are behind you every step of the way. If you're listening tonight and you want to connect with NHS Blood and Transplant locally, Zaina is your person in Manchester. So reach out through NHS BT and ask to be connected with the local team. So this episode is also made in connection with NHS Blood and Transplant. They funded this show, and I say thank you to them. The gap between need and donation will not close without exactly the kind of conversation we're having right now tonight. So thank you for staying with me. I want to end with something I've never said on air before. When I was on dialysis, I went to church a lot. Not because the schedule demanded it, but because I could not hold what I was carrying alone. And in those services, in those hours of worship, nobody ever talked about organ donation. Not once. Not in those long years, those 10 years I was on dialysis. We prayed for healing. We prayed for miracles. We prayed for the sick to be made well. But nobody ever made the connection between that prayer and the decision that could answer it. I'm addressing that tonight. I do not say that as a criticism. I say it as an invitation. Our faith communities are the most trusted institutions in our lives. More trusted than hospitals. More trusted than governments. More trusted than campaigns and posters and radio shows. Frankly, if organ donation is going to reach our communities in a way that actually changes behavior, it will travel through faith. Through pastors who are willing to say from the pulpit, this is consistent with what we believe. Through imams who are willing to say the scholars have spoken and they've given us permission. Through elders who are willing to say our tradition honors who gives. This is given. We cannot shy away from it. If you lead a faith community, if you have a microphone, a pulpit, a congregation, a platform of any kind, I'm asking you directly tonight. Have this conversation with your people, not as a health campaign, as a theological statement, because that is what it is. Life is sacred, and the most sacred thing we can do with it is extend it to someone else. Every tradition in this room tonight says so. We just have to be brave enough to say it out loud. Second chances are not given. They are received, and they come with a weight, a responsibility, a story you have to carry forward and share. That is what this show is every week. If tonight made you think differently, sit with it. If it gave you courage for a conversation you have been putting off, have it tonight. If it gave your faith tradition more credit than you had been given it, that's good. It deserves it. So register tonight at organdonation.nhs.uk. Find the African Caribbean Kidney Support Network on Facebook. Share the show with someone who needs it. Because when you do that, you are not just saving a life, you are saving a lot. Because currently, we have over 8,000 people on the transplant list. And 7,000 of those people are waiting on a transplant. As a living donor, you can save lives. You can give one kidney and live a full and fulfilled life until you die with one kidney. If you give a part of your liver will grow back to its full size. It will regenerate. How wonderful is the Lord God we serve. Whether we call him God, we call him Allah, or whatever we call him, he wants us to look after each other. That's why he said, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me also. I'm Hilaria Asumu, and this is Second Chances on Radio Africana. I am here every Sunday at 5 p.m. and I hope that you join me again next week. I'll see you next week. Bye. And this is our song. Our last song is from Stephanie Gretzinger. There's None Like You. I love this song because it helps us to actually see God the way he is. There is none like him. Thank you, and I will see you next week. Goodbye.
Search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none.
God is always good, and He has never failed me, so I know He'll work it for my good. It is well, it is well. It is well.